Computer systems, satellite link, and all sorts of other examples of high-tech gizmology.
Why carry all of this across the country?
Well, it's good exercise.
Beam me aboard, Scotty.
Really, it's almost like a trip into outer space or some sort of space.
It gives that impression when you look at it. Actually, there are a few good excuses for it, too. I'm a freelance writer, so this equipment lets me maintain an ongoing living while traveling. Can type while pedaling and transmit messages back to the home office while wandering down some highway somewhere.
Well, do you have to pedal this bicycle, or does it go by itself?
I haven't worked that part out yet. I'm trying to find a small nuclear power plant I can put on the back. There are solar panels that run everything except the wheels. Of course, if you look at it philosophically, it is a solar-powered bicycle because I'm part of the food chain, but that's pushing it.
How do you decide where you're going to go, Steve?
Whim, weather, just random contacts. I think when I started the first trip, I had great plans and drew lines on the map and had all these theories about where I would be when, and even was crazy enough to call people months ahead and tell them I'd be there.
Now you just drop in?
Right. Well, I call a couple of days ahead, but I found that it's a lot easier to just let circumstances dictate that.
What are you looking for when you're on this trip? What are you trying to find?
Anything I can find. It opens so many doors, and there's so much magic out there that, in essence, I'm riding around on this high-tech, bizarre door opener, and it attracts people of all descriptions. And as you know, that's really where much of the stories are. You know, this is not one of those lone outdoorsman kind of treks where I'm trying to see how tough I can be or any of that sort of stuff. It's a way to meet people and get into all sorts of unusual situations.
How safe are the highways for bicyclers now? I mean, where do you travel? You can't travel on the superhighways.
In the western states, you can.
Oh, you can?
Yeah, I was on interstates across Utah and Nevada and inland southern California. It's actually easier on the superhighways out there because they have shoulders and services occasionally, like every 100 miles. Generally, back roads are preferred. State highway maps usually show you what roads you shouldn't be on. So I try to get county maps or advice from local cyclists.
Do you camp out? Do you stay in hotels? Do you just kind of decide where you are at that particular time, what you're going to do, and depending on the weather, what you're going to do?
Exactly. I usually prefer to meet people and stay with them.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the best ones. I carry full camping gear with cooking equipment.
You have one of those little trailers on the back of your bike? No, you don't go that
far. It's all piled on the back. Also, there's a bit of credit card camping, otherwise known as motels.
Mm-hmm. How much does this whole thing weigh?
About 230 pounds, plus
me.
Wow. Yeah, I have a profound new respect for gravity after all.
I would say.
What is a recumbent bicycle?
It's not to be confused with a type of DNA research or a type of political candidate. I'm sitting in a semi-reclining position. It's like a lawn chair on wheels. My hands are resting on handlebars underneath the seat, and legs are out in front of me, and I just lean back.
Why is that preferable to the old-fashioned bicycle design?
Oh, comfort, speed, efficiency, looks, all those things. On an old-fashioned bicycle, you're sitting on a hard little seat, hunched over handlebars, putting stress on your shoulders. If you want to look at the world that you're pedaling through, you crane your neck. And so you see cyclists going through beautiful countryside, Colorado Rockies or whatever, staring at the highway because it's the most comfortable position. On a recumbent, I'm sitting back and looking around just like I'm in an easy chair. Plus, I can put more power into the pedals because there's something to push against with the back of the seat.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing ever hurts. My longest day was 136 miles. There were a few others over 100, and the average was about 65. And the only pain I ever had was from an old knee injury.
Is this a part of the country that you've not cycled through yet?
Yes.
So that this is totally different.
I'll be starting in Vancouver, British Columbia. Going with a companion this time, Maggie Victor. She's also on a recumbent.
Mm-hmm.
We're starting in the Northwest and heading down the coast, which is a little more intelligent than the way I did the West Coast last time. I went north from San Diego area up to San Francisco and fought brutal headwinds all the way.
Mm-hmm. A little challenge there.
Yes.
Well, have you come with any fabulous stories about gold miners that are still hidden in the hills and recluses and all kinds of things?
You'll have to read the book for that.
Oh, come on. Can't we even just have a hint?
Well, it's always hard to pick one out of the air. You know, there's so many things that happen, and some of the stories that make beautiful texture and contribute very nicely to a portrait of an area don't really stand alone as a little snippet. They take too long to do justice to. But there are many, many, naturally, because, instead of staying in one place, well, I lived in Dublin for about 4 years, and I was getting so stable in my social life, so to speak, that I would get excited when the UPS man would come and invite him in for coffee, you know, hope maybe that somebody perfect would have a flat tire in front of the house and knock on the door. But those things seldom happened. When you're out there living on a bicycle, especially one like this, it's every day is different. Every day is an adventure. I know that's a generalization, but the stories in the book include everything from exploring ice caves, encounters with prison inmates in the woods, a sailing trip from Key West to Clearwater, bizarre characters, mountain men, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did you ever feel endangered in your travels?
Now and then. Occasionally, there's a driver who either doesn't see me or thinks it's fun to give me a little bit of extra adrenaline. There was some people who passed down in southern Florida and swung a red electric guitar at my head as they went zipping by at about 35 and missed, fortunately. Could have been a real fender bender. But other than that, the real dangers are things like running off the road or random errors.
Okay, well, thank you very much. That's all the time we have this morning with high-tech nomad Steve Roberts. I'm Dave Anderson.